The Art of a Lie by Laura Shepherd Robinson, read by Justin Avoth and Sophie Roberts, including an historical note read by the author and an audio-exclusive Q&A with the author and Justin Avoth.
For Billy, who stole the buttons. Part 1. The Mirror. A lover, when he is admitted to cards, ought to be solemnly silent and observe the motions of his mistress. He must laugh when she laughs, sigh when she sighs. In short, he should be the shadow of her mind. A lady in the presence of her lover should never want a looking-glass, as a beau in the presence of his looking-glass never wants a mistress. Henry Fielding, Love in Several Masks, 1728. Chapter 1. 9 times out of 10, when a customer walks into the punch bowl and pineapple, I can guess what will tempt them. It is the confectioner's principal art, anticipating wants and needs, and people betray their desires in countless small ways. For a young lady taut with nerves, dressed to make a house call, I suggest a pretty basket of French macaroons to impress her friends. For a young buck in the first flush of love, seeking a gift for his mistress, I propose a petit puits d'amour. The name and oval shape might make him smile, though I act oblivious to any indelicate connotations. For an older gentleman, picture one crimson from hunting and port, a rich plum cake spiced with cinnamon and mace. For a widow in mittens, a box of scented violet wafers, or, if she is bent with the rheumatism, bergamot chips. For a little boy with a cough, I prescribe a guimauve, a soft cake of honey whipped with the sap of the marshmallow plant. And for his governess, a sweet syllabub, to be eaten at one of my tables while she ponders how life's misfortunes brought her here. That day, the 15th of June, 1749, I was watching a gentleman in the mirror behind my counter. He'd just strolled in, escaping the bustle of Piccadilly, remarkably unsullied by the dust and heat of the day outside. His finger hovered over my golden nests of spun sugar, each filled with marchpane eggs and topped with a sugarwork bird, a new creation I'd put my hand to whilst the shop had been closed for mourning. Like my birds, he was a colourful creature, his coat a smoke-blue silk with silver embroidery at the collar and cuffs, a topaz pin in his cream cravat, and a plump meringue of a periwig beneath a smoke-blue hat adorned with a peacock feather. The patina of the mirror speckled his tawny skin, the warp of the glass distorting one golden-brown eye. Not a sugar nest, I thought, not unless he was looking for a present for his wife, and he had taken a stool at my counter, which suggested he intended to eat. An apricot tart, I decided, refined yet unadventurous, like most of my customers. To my surprise, he pointed to a silver tureen where half a dozen glass goblets of ice shavings nestled amidst larger shards of ice. "Is that a Persian sherbet?" he said. "I haven't had one in years." "Perfect for the weather, sir," Theo said. I could imagine how she'd be looking at him, 15 years old, and men still a mystery she presumed delightful. "The goods are behind the counter," I'd sometimes remind her, "not in front of it." "I'll do it," I said, turning. "Go see to the balancing pan." "Yes, Mrs. C." Theo gave me a pert look and threaded her way, hips swaying, to the door at the back of the shop. Undistorted by the mirror, the gentleman appeared slightly familiar, though I couldn't quite place him. Perhaps from church. A carriage moved on the street outside, and a shaft of sunlight gilded his face, revealing a few delicate lines of age around the eyes and mouth. He put up a hand to shield his gaze, signet ring flashing. I poured a syrup of rose water over one of the goblets of ice, adding a scatter of dried rose petals and ground turkey pistachios. The gentleman handed over the coins, and while I weighed them, he plunged in with